Together this morning, we're in the last couple of weeks of our Philippians series. Philippians has all been about encouraging words and encouragement for us as believers, as followers of God. And it's really interesting how some weeks, it's like a whole chapter we go through because that's just what the text dictates. But today, the passage is only two verses. But don't worry, it's not going to be a 5-minute message. It's going to be a little bit longer than that. But as we continue through the book, when we get to this passage, there's been a focus on a lot of things as we've been going through the book. But as we come to this particular passage, which is near the end, the focus is on our focus. What are we focusing our time on? What do we give credence in our minds and our hearts with our words and our actions? Where's our head at? How are we going through life? We've all met followers of Yeshua, other followers of Yeshua that are focused on the wrong things, right? They could be the most depressing of people. Have you ever met that? Like really Debbie Downer kind of believers that you experience. They could be the most negative. They can be the most insufferable people. Of course, none of us are like that in this room, right? None of you on the live stream are like that, I'm sure. But you've all met people that are like that. They just appear to have no joy. They appear to have no joy in their lives. I'm following God. I'm doing all the things of God. But man, it's hard. You know, and there's just no joy. We shouldn't be like that. This is what the passage is talking about today. Yes, this world is a mess. Yes, sin is prevalent. Yes, it can be a little depressing as we look out at the world, as we're in the world. But we need to have a focus on the Lord, not on the world. We need to focus on the Lord. Good things come from keeping God a priority in your life. Even if it's just good things inside here. Even if it's just that peace that passes no understanding that you and I can have in the midst of all of the craziness going on in the world. We need to have a focus on the Lord. We need to have God as a priority in our life. We also need to look for other people that we can be around in our lives that share that, that focus on that, that strive to do those things and that are an example to you and I for that. You know, you are who you surround yourself with. Now, I know you have to go out there in the world and you have to go and you have to deal with that boss, right? Everybody has that boss sometimes. And you have to deal with those crazy coworkers. You have to deal with those people. I'm looking at my staff in the back and that's that crazy boss you got to deal with. Yes, you have to deal with all of that. But we should surround ourselves with people of like mind, with people that are going to encourage us in the Lord, not discourage us in the Lord. So there's good godly examples that we talk about here today. And also, no matter the circumstances we find ourselves in, no matter the circumstances, God is with you and I. Every day, every hour, every minute of our lives. We have to remember that. Now, let's go right to the text. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Two verses, but totally jam-packed. We're going to do the first one to begin with. Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Some days it's hard to find anything good to talk about with what's going on. But we need to find those things that are worthy of praise and think about these things, Rav Shaul is telling us. If you spend any time looking around in the world we live in, what you see is a complete and total mess, right? People are a mess. People's lives are a mess. The systems of this world are ungodly. Now, I don't like to spend too much time talking about this, but we have to talk about this because this is where we're at in the Bible, and this is what the text is talking about, but I think we focus too much on the negative. This is what we're saying here. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Listen to me very carefully. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I am a conspiracy theorist. Let me explain what I mean by that. There's all these little conspiracies that everybody has. You know, the government this and that and whatever. Okay, everybody's got a conspiracy theory, it seems, on everything. And social media has, of course, fueled that. Media in general has fueled that. But I believe that there is a massive, you're going to think, oh, you're so weird, Rabbi. I think there's a massive conspiracy theory going on. And that conspiracy theory is that the world is under sin and doesn't realize it, right? That's the biggest conspiracy theory, that the accuser, Hasatan, is the prince of the air of this world, and people don't even realize it. As the Bible says, he goes around like a roaring lion, but he also goes around to try to trick us. Remember what he did in the Garden of Eden, with Adam and Eve. What did he do? He tricked them. He tricked them into thinking God was something else, or God had a different motive than what God had. That's his motivation. And it's all a big conspiracy theory. So we should focus on, not on all of that, even though it's all true, we have to say it all, okay? But we should be focused on not the things that we can't control. Listen, sin is sin, the world is a mess, yes, Hasatan is out there, but to dwell on it excessively, where is our focus? Is our focus on all the bad, or is our focus going to be on all the good? Turn to Philippians 3:19. Now, we were just here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 19, but I want to read it again because Rav Shaul warned us about not having a focus on the world, but having a focus instead on God. Philippians 3:19, talking about the people that have a focus on the wrong things. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. We have to think about earthly things at some point. But when you have your mind fixated, constantly dwelling, obsessed on earthly things, that is not good. It's not good for you psychologically. It's not good for you spiritually. And this is what Shaul was reminding us about. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Rather, we need to not think of things of the world, but think of the things of God. Colossians 3:2, another letter written by Rav Shaul, with the inspiration from the Ruach HaKodesh, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. When we focus on godly things, we are refreshed, we are renewed. Okay, this is a mentality, but because it's all about your perspective. I always like to use this analogy. If you're driving down the road in your car, you can think about all of the problems in your life. Right? As you drive, you ever do that? Drive down the road. Oh, I got this problem. Oh, I got that problem. Oh, this person in my life. Oh, I have a lack of this and I have a lack of that. That's one perspective that you can have as you're driving down the road. Or you can drive down the road and you can focus on God, and you can focus on his goodness, and you can focus on all that he's done for you, and you can focus on how he's the God of fulfilling promises. Okay? In both of those scenarios, you have the same problems. The only difference is your perspective is different. Are you going to focus on things that are going to hurt your faith walk? Or are you going to focus on redemptive things that grow your faith and your walk with the Lord? That's the question for us. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Don't be conformed to this world and this world's way of thinking, but be renewed in your mind, focusing on the things of the Lord. Our hope is in God. He is a God of promises, and he is a promise keeper. He will take care of his people. Look, we know he's going to take care of Israel. It's a great example to use the state of Israel. Right now, Israel is in crisis and turmoil. There's hostages. It does not look like things are going well. But their hope must be in God. We pray for our people that their hope is in God in the land, and we must hope in God. And he is that God of promises, and he will keep his promises. Not in our time, but in God's time. Isaiah 26, verse 3. He will give us his peace. He will be with us no matter what valley we may find ourselves in and what part of life we may find ourselves in. Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Are we that person that we have perfect peace in the midst of what's going on because our mind is stayed on the Lord, because we trust in the Lord, because our hope is in him? Point number one in our message is focus on the good and godly. We're not talking about extremes here. There's times to focus on earthly things. There's time to talk about problems and issues. But the focus of our lives, the priority should be on the good and the godly. Let's remember that today. Now Philippians, back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, this is Rav Shaul, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, he says, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul says, look at me, use me as an example, practice what I'm doing. Do you know there's a real absence of godly examples in our lives today? There's a real absence of people that have godly character, godly integrity, that can walk with the Lord, and that can be a light to other people. And that's sad, but that's the truth. There is a real absence. And we see leaders in the faith falling on all sides, no matter what type of thing it is. They're focusing on the wrong things. They're getting sucked in by the world with this thing and that thing. There's a real absence of godly examples. There's a lot of people, though, that talk the good talk. They have a lot of good things to say, but their lives are a mess. They don't walk it out. They're unbalanced. I would say that they're unbalanced believers. You know what an unbalanced believer is, right? An unbalanced believer is a person that has mastered certain things of the faith. They excel in prayer, or they excel in other areas, but their life is a mess in other areas. It's almost like they focus on a couple of fun things that they want to focus on as a believer, but all the hard things are down here, and they're like at square one because they refuse to deal with those issues in their life. They refuse to look objectively in the mirror at their lives. That's an unbalanced believer. That is not a good example. The world is full of, unfortunately, unbalanced followers of Yeshua. Our job is to be balanced. Now, that might mean for you that you don't focus so much on all those fun things. Maybe a little bit less, because you only have like one life and 24 hours in a day, right? Anybody have more than 24 hours in a day? I want to talk to you if you do, because I need some more hours. You know, you got to bring things into alignment, and that might mean not focusing so much on the pet things that we love to do, and we all have them, but balancing our lives, not neglecting other areas. Because what happens with unbalanced believers? Your fruit is all messed up. Some of it's good, but then you're like this tree with some good fruit on one side and like rotten fruit on the other side. That's not good at all. We need to act in both word and deed. We need to talk the talk, but we also need to walk the walk. And we need to, as much as we can, have that balanced approach in life. Colossians again, book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Yeshua, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Don't out of one side of your mouth say, praise the Lord, and do all these talk things. And on the other side of your mouth have glaring problems that you need to address. We all have problems, but are we dealing with it? Are we looking in the mirror? Are we focusing on being more and more of a disciple of Yeshua, bringing those things into alignment and in the light of God? That's what we need to be doing. Not just the fun stuff, not just the fun parts, not just the lingo, but the way we conduct our lives. We want role models, but what we don't realize is each one of us, if you're a follower of Yeshua, you are a role model. People are looking at you. If you have kids, they're certainly looking at you. If you have influence over anybody, even if it's at your job, fellow workers in your job, you have an opportunity to be a role model. And we want people we can look up to, but we don't want to be the people that people can look up to. So let's all focus on being those people ourselves, and then people are going to have a lot of people to look up to, and we will as well. Titus, the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 7. So we also need to be role models. We need to represent Yeshua well to others. Verse 7, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Rav Shaul wrote these words in his letter to Titus. He was living it out. Now, he had people that were talking smack about him, so to speak. So that's, you know, look, we're going to try. We're going to try to be good to everybody. We're going to try to be godly to everybody. But even if we do everything right, people are still going to talk about us. People are going to still have problems with us. Look at what they did with Yeshua. He never sinned. Okay, so that's not what it's saying here. It's not if you follow this formula, nobody's ever going to say anything bad about you. What it is saying is be a good example in your life. You can't worry about worry about what anybody else thinks or says about you. All you can worry about is yourself. Rav Shul had it tough at times. It isn't always easy to live out this model life. But you know what the biggest way we can live this life out is? The biggest way is to get our priorities straight. The biggest way is to put God first, to put the things of God first, to seek his kingdom over our own kingdoms. We're so worried about building our own kingdoms up that we forget about God's kingdom. Philippians chapter 1. Let's go to chapter 1. Verse 12, we read this several weeks ago. But listen to Shaul's words to the Philippians. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. So I'm telling you what has happened to him. He's not talking about the good stuff. He's talking about the bad stuff. He's talking about the persecution he suffered. He's talking about the shipwrecks. He's talking about being bitten by a snake and almost dying. He's talking about all those nasty things that happened to him. But what has he said throughout it? Oh, God, where are you, God? No, he said, it served to advance the gospel. Whatever we find ourselves in, whatever season, there are people looking at us as an example, not only the example of how to be happy and live a wonderful life, but how are we going to handle ourselves when these things are happening to us that are not good? That is when they look at us and they say, wow, you're still praising God. You're still following the Lord. You still have integrity in your life. And you're having these problems. That speaks sometimes more than when everything's going right and you're happy-go-lucky and everybody's like, ooh, what do you have? You know, much of this is done in the valley. It's all about God and not about us. And Shaul, as more than anybody else really, I think, was a great role model for us. He modeled what it means to put God first, even at the expense of his own convenience, certainly. He strove to be godly in his life. We need to look at that for our own lives, and we need to find people that are doing that and be around them, how we should think, speak, and act. Point number two, look to godly examples, and I might add, be a godly example in your life. Now back to Philippians again. I want to reread that verse 9 because we have one more thing to talk about here. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. We often think when we do good things, when we try to be good examples, when we behave nicely to everybody, we think everybody's going to like me. Everybody's going to accept the Lord around me. Everybody's going to want what I've got. I mean, isn't that what we initially think when we're like baby believers? But what happens in the reality when we do all the right things, say all the right things, try to be a godly example, try to be a role model? You know what happens is we often feel even more alone than we did before. We feel at times more persecuted. We don't feel at times even that God is close to us. We're out of sync and out of sorts, and we don't feel that peace all around us. We don't feel God close to us, even though he's always there. Maybe we listen to the world a little bit too much or get caught up in life. Remember, in the Garden of Eden, they were like all around God and his things. But here comes this serpent, you know, the Hasatan. And you know what he says? Basically, it's, nah, all of this here, this isn't the way. This isn't what God really thinks. I'm telling you what God really thinks. And he turned them. He lured them away from God's way of thinking to his way of thinking. And if we're not careful, that can happen to us in the world. We can listen a little bit too much to the world, especially what the world thinks about God or what the world says. Psalm 23, verse 4. Listen to this. We've read it many times. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, let me tell you, even though we read that over and over and over, and that's a comforting psalm, there's a lot of good theology in this one verse. There's a lot of solid theology in that one verse. Now, I've talked about something that's kind of out there in the world, and it's what I like to term pop theology, right? I've used that term before, pop theology. Pop theology tells you and me things like, if everything is going right in your life, you must be doing something right for the Lord. And you're going to feel it, and everything's going to be great. That's pop theology, right? But also pop theology says, if you're doing these things, and bad things are happening to you, and you're going into valleys, you must be doing something wrong. This is the pop theology, not biblical theology. You must be doing something wrong because things aren't going well for you. You need to ask yourself, what did you do? What sin did you commit? How did you go away from God? Who did you wrong? Circumstances rule in pop theology. Your circumstances, whether they're good or bad, they dictate your status with God, and they dictate your acceptance, God or God's acceptance of you. That's not biblical. I'm going to say that again. That is absolutely not biblical, even though it's the pop theology, I think, of the day. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though nothing seems to be going right, even though it's really, really dark and I don't see God, He's with me. His rod and His staff, they comfort me. Do we not focus on what we can fix our eyes on in the earthly, but are we focused on God in the heavenly? Are we fixing our eyes on Him because He is with us? The world will tell you, you must be sinning. The world will tell you God has abandoned you. I think King David had some of these moments in his life where nothing was going right. Remember when he had to flee from Saul, who kept trying to kill him? He didn't do anything wrong, but Saul tried to kill him. Remember when he had to leave his house and his wife in the middle of the night and flee because the army of Israel was after him, because Saul was after him? He had to go hide out with the enemy, the Philistines. You could say, what did David do? What sin did he commit to have this happen to him? That's what pop theology will tell you. But biblically, we know David didn't do anything wrong in this case. But David did have psalms that are attributed to him, including this one, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, that could be so-and-so who's making your life a little difficult out there in the world, or that can be a horde and an army of thousands. We sang about it today, or 10,000s. It doesn't matter. The Lord is with us. He is our light. In this verse, in Psalm 27, verse 1, we read that God is not only our light, He's also our salvation. He's our stronghold. That sure sounds like God is with us. That sure sounds like God was with David, even though David had circumstances in his life that weren't good. Last scripture of the day is Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God and Messiah Yeshua our Lord. That's the voice you need to be listening to, not the pop theology that tells you something is going wrong because not everything is working out in your life. Let's think biblically, not worldly. Point number three, no matter our circumstances, God is with us. Now, of course, the caveat is that you're not sinning. The caveat is that you are following God, but that's kind of like you're following God, you're trying your hardest. Yes, you mess up every day, but you're focusing on God. You're focusing on the good and godly. You're looking to godly examples. And you could say then, no matter the valley or whatever I'm going through, God is with me. But it's all about our focus. Are we going to focus on what we can see with our eyes, on the problems, on our problems, on the problems of the world? Or are we going to focus on God because He is with us in every season of our lives? Let's pray. God, You're with us in the fire. We sang about that today. You're with us and You part the seas. You make miracles happen when it seems like they're not going to happen. We're coming up on the Passover holiday, Lord, and I'm reminded about how Israel was brought out. Our people years ago were brought out from slavery, from Egypt, not by their own will, determination, or cunning, but by Your mighty acts, by those devastating 10 plagues, by your miracles. And then they came to the foot of the sea, and here comes the Egyptian army after them. And I'm reminded that you parted the seas miraculously, and the children of Israel walked across it on dry ground. But Lord, the Egyptians were drowned. So you're the God of the impossible. You're the God of miracles. You're still doing miracles even in our lives today. We just have to look and see it. Lord, help us to focus on the good things and not be mired down by the cares of the world, the heaviness of the world. But may we be focused on you and your goodness, no matter what valley we find ourselves in. You are good and your mercy endures forever. And Lord, we thank you for who you are and who you are in our lives. We praise you in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.